You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Hot Off the Mess. I'm your host, Samantha Bush, and I have someone so special, so exciting. Jared Alexander, the entertainment writer extraordinaire. He's at The Griot. He's also on Twitter, on Instagram. He's everything. How are you? Thank you for coming.
I am so good. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
I feel like we've done this, but we actually haven't, which is
I know. It's really weird. And I saw you at BravoCon. You and I, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel just like this weird, like, kindred spirit to you. Like, I just gravitate towards you and I just, like, love you.
It was, like, love at first sight. Can we talk about it for a second? It was that, like, kickoff party the night before BravoCon. Yes. And I just heard someone scream, Jared! And I turned around and it was you. And, like, my heart, like, grew five sizes.
Fluttered. Yeah.
I was so excited.
It was really beautiful, you know? And how was your BravoCon experience? I know it's been like 6 months, but I feel like we can talk about it, you know?
We definitely can. I feel like I'm still catching up on sleep from it, to be honest. I mean, it was like so intense.
It was so intense.
And to be clear, I also didn't go to the first one. So this was like my first experience. And it was so fun, like, especially just because I feel like I made RIP Clubhouse, but like made so many friends like you and like there were people I really got to meet.
Yeah.
It was amazing, though. There was just so much happening. It was so exciting. There were so many cool announcements. It was nonstop. It is not for the weak.
No. It's like an assault on all of your senses. It's so intense. You have to like have a mapped out like route of what you're doing, where you're going. Do you have time in between panels to maybe look around the venue? It was crazy.
It was exhausting. Crazy. By like the second or third day too, it just feels like Groundhog's Day. Like you're going to the same exact place. And it like mm-hmm. I was getting coffee from the same place at the beginning. Yep. And it was cool because I got to work some of it too. So I was in the press room for a lot of it, which was really exciting. And just like getting to like literally see just in that center, like everywhere you turned, there was like another Bravo celebrity who you're obsessed with. So
who was your favorite person that you met?
Okay, so I write at The Griot and we're a Black news source. So like I definitely would like hang around a little bit though, like other shows that I love that I don't cover though. So for me, it was Dr. Nicole Martin, and it was exciting that I just got to like fan out and it wasn't like professional me. I was just like, I'm not gonna write about you, but I just like love you and you're amazing. And she just looked so good and she was awesome. I would say her, and then honestly, I say this all the time, but I just think that the Potomac women are just like such pros. Like they're so real, they're so down to earth, and like every time I see them, they're just every single one of them, honestly. And then most of the Jersey women.
Yeah.
I would say.
The Jersey girls are just they feel just so familiar, you know? Like they're stars and they're on this huge show, but they also have this like really they have a lot of warmth or something to them. Like I just feel like I know them.
Absolutely. They're gonna call you by your first and last name. They're gonna be like, oh my god, Samantha Bush, hi. Like they just make you feel so good. And they just like the whole family thing is real. Not that the other franchises aren't amazing too.
They're just different vibes.
Like, yeah, they definitely are. They kind of disarm you a little bit that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad that you had an amazing time. The day I left my panel, I was in heels all day, and Oh my God, this is so crazy. I called ahead to see if I could like bring extra shoes because I was like, my panel's in the morning. I don't want to be in heels all day. Like, I'm going to die. And they said, no, I'm not allowed to do that. I wasn't allowed to bring a bag in. And I was like, that's fucking annoying. God. So I, sorry. My boyfriend keeps opening the door. Like, hello, I'm a professional.
That makes me so
hello. So I was in heels all day, literally from morning till when it ended at like 6 p.m. And I physically couldn't walk anymore. I was almost on the verge of tears. I think I met up with you and Dave at the end of that day because I think it was the Salt Lake panel. And you and I were just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it was fucking insane. I was jaw on the floor.
Oh. It was insane. That was, I feel bad for people who missed that panel because that was the one that you wouldn't expect to be, like, they were in the middle of the season airing. Also, before we even get to that, let's talk about your panel. You were amazing. You were so good. You were giving, like, daytime host realness. Like, it was just so fun. And I thought you had a really good group of wives. Like, it was just very fun.
Thank you.
And I was just so proud of you. But yeah, that Salt Lake City panel was literally, they needed to sage that room after. Like, it was like, it was more entertaining than the reunion. And I hate to say that because they also didn't, because you know, they filmed a lot of the panels. There's a lot missing online from that one. And it sucks because I feel like if fans were able to see all of it, it just was like.
Yeah. Lisa Barlow was on fire. She was taking no prisoners. She didn't give a fuck. She was like, so. To me, there's housewives that I see at BravoCon that I like, but then I see them there and I fall in love with them. Mm-hmm. And Lisa Barlow was one of them for me because she just is not how I thought she was going to be at all. Like, she was very chill, very like, she was swearing a lot. She like didn't give a fuck. It was so great. Totally. And at the first BravoCon that I went to, it was Teresa really shocked me, like at how chill she was. But we'll get into her in a little bit. But so I'm done with the panels. I'm done with the day. I'm like, I can't walk to my hotel. I'm like literally on the verge of tears. I took a fucking pedicab.
No.
Yeah.
How did I not know this? Am I just hearing this?
I took a pedicab.
Good for you.
To my hotel. I walk out of the Javits Center and I just see a line of people, bikes, pedicabs. And I looked at him and I said, how much? He said $8 a block. And I said, let's fucking go. Let's go. And I was like, please, no one see me. Please, no one see me. Like, this is so embarrassing. Yeah. Sure enough, at a stoplight, someone's like, oh my God, Bravo Storian. And I looked at them and I was just like, not me in a pedicab. And she's like, oh my God. And I was like, this is so. And like, the guy was playing, like, he had these huge loud speakers and he was playing like LMFAO. I truly was wanted to die. I had to get that story out to the people. It was so fucking embarrassing, but I physically could not move.
No, I mean, listen, you also worked, so good for you for treating
yourself. I was a physician.
You did, and it was no joke. Like, you literally did. So, but that is hilarious. I hope that fan is listening to this because
I know she literally funny. She posted a photo because we took a picture together, and she literally put in quotes, "Not me in a pedicab." Like, I was so embarrassed. Oh, anyway, Jared, there's so much to discuss. So I want to get into the trailers that dropped.
Please.
Brand new trailers. So there has been all week on Twitter, people have been teasing like things are coming, things, you know, something is afoot. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, is it the OC trailer? Like, that is where my mind went immediately. Like, where the fuck is it? And I'm never one of those people that's like tagging Andy on Twitter being like, where's the trailer? Where's the trailer? Where's the trailer? But I need to know. Like, I need my Tammy Sue. I want to see her with Shannon and Heather Dubrow. Like, I'm ready. But this today was even better.
I think this was. And I think, I'm sure you maybe saw, but Dave tweeted this whole thing about how if things do line up and how they maybe want programming to be, that like OC would come once Vanderpump Rules ends. And I'm all about, I think we really learned in 2020 what it feels like when there are no shows filming and none in the can. Like, it's really scary as a Bravo fan.
It's scary.
I really trust them programming wise. I do. Like, they're never going to put everything out with nothing left. Like, because all these other shows are filming right now. So like, I know OC is going to be good. I just have a good feeling. That was another great panel at BravoCon, was the great OC panel. One. It was great. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, these trailers were just everything we needed. Which one do we want to start with?
Let's start with Atlanta. So Atlanta was my gateway into Housewives. That's the show I started watching Housewives with. So I just have like a just a natural like love for these women. What do you think? What do you, what?
I'm so excited. I feel like, honestly, like OC, last season of Atlanta felt like we were hitting the reset button. A little old, a little
Yes.
new. We're going back. Like Atlanta, we had so many friends for like three or four
Rebuilding.
seasons. We had like more friends than Peaches. And I feel like we just are like rebuilding. And it feels like this group is really settled in. And I love the trailer. First of all, whenever there's an activated candy, I'm literally here for it. Whenever her voice
Candy?
goes into that, like it's about to break,
Yeah,
I
where
love
it's like cracking and like she's like
it.
talk yelling. It's my
Yes.
favorite. And I love Candy for who she is on the show. Like she's not someone who's like overly stirring the pot, but she's also not a peacemaker, but she's
Right.
also like she's just her own type of girl on this show. But this season, she looks like she gets fucking activated.
Literally. And she's also
She
just
literally says she wants to choke Marlo.
and headbutt somebody too. And I'm like,
Headbutt.
literally, like, I'm like, Candy, come on. And I also think too, someone was tweeting this, how I think that she's now like the longest standing housewife ever. I think she has 14 seasons full time. And I
Yes,
think there's
which is
something to be said
crazy.
about that. Candy gets a lot of flack, I think, because like you said, like she isn't necessarily going to be the rowdiest one, but I think she, I can't imagine Atlanta without her. And I just
No,
think
I
that
know.
like, it's amazing to see someone again 14 years in being just this entertaining and engaging.
And I mean, are we gonna get bullets or biscuits?
Oh my
I
God. I had
screamed.
to pause. I
I
literally had to
screamed.
pause. That's something too, like just the Atlanta women. Like again, we had some rough years, but it always pays off to stick with your blood. But
Yes,
it really
not sticking with scum like you.
does. Literally.
Yeah, these women are so fucking good at this. They're so good at it. They're so good at making good TV. And even in their, and I will say, even in their worst seasons, they were still better than some of like OC's like worst seasons. You know what I mean?
I mean, we don't talk
The
about that
dark
one season. We
days.
don't.
Those dark
I
days.
also have a little story too. So I was just in Disney for a work trip for a media event,
Okay.
but I'm checking into my hotel and Sanya was there because she's an ambassador for like Disney Run.
What?
So I literally am like waiting to check in and I see this gorgeous woman in glasses. And then first I spotted her husband and I was like, oh my
Oh my
God.
God, no, he's everything.
I was literally losing my mind. And then I did get to interview her, but it was mostly about Disney Run. Like I didn't get to talk about Housewives, but I just was like so excited. And I had met her at BravoCon, but I think she's also a great fit too. Like I'm excited to see more of
I
her.
loved her last season. I love a little Deucey. I loved her 1,000%.
husband.
Oh
And
my
I
God, you're.
think, oh, I'm just so excited.
And
I really feel like,
Marlo
oh,
back with
I
a
mean,
peach,
with a vengeance,
with
literally.
a vengeance. She is. I love that little scene in the trailer with her nephews, where she's like, "I've changed," and her little nephew was like, "You're working on it."
Right.
I
Baby
was like,
steps.
"Dead."
Literally.
So San Drew. So
Oh.
this is the shit that I love. Can I tell you?
Please tell me.
I kind of love seasons like where, okay, so they're filed for divorce now, like they're getting divorced. So we kind of can watch the whole season, kind of watch it unfold, knowing that that is what's coming for us. Like, I'm kind of, I know everyone's like, well, why didn't they do it on camera? I'm like, wait, this is kind of better. It's kind of like Easter eggy.
I love
Like,
that.
not that they have hidden their problems, like Easter eggs. They've
Yeah,
been
I
pretty
had
out
no
there.
clue this was going to be the outcome.
Yeah, I'm shocked. This
No,
rocked my world. You
I
know what did
totally
rock
agree
my world?
though. What did?
Eva and her
Oh my
husband.
God. I
I'm
know.
devastated.
I'm devastated too. And like, are
I'm
there going to be
shocked.
rumblings in Ultimate Girls Trip 4? Like, is she going to be opening up? Like,
About her marriage?
because it wasn't that long ago.
No. It was like a few months, January.
Yeah. I'm shocked. There's been just a lot of divorces lately.
A lot of people breaking hearts, you know. I'm also excited to see Kenya back. You know, I love Kenya Moore. She's a Detroit girl.
I love her too. Oh, she
Girl,
is. You're
I hope
right. Oh my
she falls in
gosh.
love. I want that for her.
I really want that for her too. And I feel like It's so interesting because last season was the first season without Portia, and we really got to see just like a warmer side. We just got to see her like not worry about having this like adversary there. And of course, with Ultimate Girls of Three, I'm like, I can't wait for Portia to eventually come back. I love her. But I do think that it's been really nice to see Kenya like this. And it just seems like she's going to continue to just like glow and like still be Kenya. I mean, she's still like reading people
Kenya's
down,
going to
so it's very
Kenya.
shady. Period. Talk about someone who's gorgeous in person. I mean,
No.
literally.
It's breathtaking. It's actually like it's shocking. I mean, not shocking because it's like you obviously know she's beautiful, but like these women in real life are just they it hits different. You know what
It
I
really
mean?
does. It really does.
It really does. Like when I was back to BravoCon, sorry to circle it back,
Continue.
but I saw Cynthia Bailey was standing right in front of me.
Oh.
And I didn't know what to do. I simply just looked at her dead ass in the face, looking like crazed. And I just looked at her and I go, "You are so beautiful." And she was like, "Thank you." Like, who the fuck are you? Because I looked like crazed. I was like, because it was like her and then like Caroline Stanberry and then Toya. And I was just like,
It's like electric when you see these people in person. I'm not even kidding. Like
no, it
every
is.
single person is gorgeous. That's like how I feel too. Again, no matter how she dresses, like the first time I saw Gisele Bryan in person, it's another level. Like
It's not okay.
it's like low-key intimidating. Like you're just like, I've never seen
No,
someone with a face like this
a
ever.
face, her face. Oh my God. We'll talk about it when we talk Girls Trip, but
Yes,
like
yes,
she's
yes.
so fucking beautiful. It makes me sick.
It's crazy.
Like,
It
no,
is.
like Whitney's a beautiful woman, but to see her next
Yes.
to Giselle in that swampy Thailand, I'm like,
Oh
I would kill myself. My
my.
white blotchy ass next to Giselle. Are you kidding?
Totally, totally.
It's crazy. But anyway, so then we have a new show dropping.
Yes.
Summer House on Martha's Vineyard. It's an all black cast. I'm
Yes.
so fucking excited because I am in my era right now where I hate Summer House. I'm
Oh,
sick of these
Sam, I
people.
listened to the pod, so I know.
Oh.
I was like vibing with you in this last
Okay,
episode.
cool. Yeah, I went rogue the other day. I was like, I've had it.
Literally.
Because I'm just sick of those people. So I'm really excited that we're getting kind of the same premise, but with a whole different group of people, a whole different landscape. I'm ready.
As I think Dave tweeted this, no one's laying in bed. I didn't see a single clip of people laying in bed with a room with mounds of clothes everywhere. And that to me is already a good sign.
Yes. I mean,
And I,
when Pet Shop Boy calls them the bedsore girls,
I,
I scream.
he wins for that. That is
No,
my favorite
because
thing. Yes.
it's so fucking funny. Yeah, not a single person laying in bed. I see people up and at 'em,
Yes. And
ready
a
to fucking film a
dynamic cast.
show.
Ready to film a show. Like, that is, I think, what's been so frustrating to echo everything you said the last episode. Like, I just feel like it, how can it all be Lindsay? Like, it just can't all be Lindsay. And they just
No.
are so used to defaulting to her.
Yeah.
Kind of honestly, like, they're like making money off her. Like, it kind of drives me crazy. Like, I'm like,
Yeah.
if you guys aren't going to do anything else, and it's just is weird because she's not giving the reactions that she usually gives them. But you
Oh
see them
yeah.
still are, they're like responding to like the ghosts of Lindsay Hubbard. Like it's
Yeah.
very weird. They're
They
like
are.
freaking out.
They are. And you're
Yeah.
so right. It's like they say certain things and do certain things and they expect this type of reaction from her and they're not getting it.
No.
And they like short circuit. And they're like,
Yes.
"But what about this?" And she's like,
Yes.
"Okay." Like it's so embarrassing. And Carl said he did an interview with Page Six the other day and he was just like, "These people owe her so many apologies." Because the thing is like they act like Lindsay killed someone.
They really do.
I'm like,
It's
what the fuck has this girl done to you? What has she done?
weird. And they're mad if she drinks. They're mad if she doesn't drink. They're mad when she's single. They're mad when she has a boyfriend. They're mad when she goes out. They're mad when she stays in. Like they're just mad at her.
And the thing is she literally like doesn't pay them anything. Like, and
No.
I think it drives them crazy because they're like, she is like Teflon. Like, you really can't get to her. Because she's like,
No.
okay. And it's very clear that Danielle was projecting her shitty relationship
Oh.
with Robert.
Are you kidding? It is very clear. And I love Danielle. And this has been like
a heartbreaking
thing to watch for sure. But I do think that there's so much projection going on. And to what you were saying in that episode too, mm-hmm. like there is that Gabby Danielle Watch What Happens Live was A, amazing. I do think Gabby is a star. Like,
oh, a star. But a star was born. I'm terrified of her.
Oh, 1,000%.
Terrified.
But there was like, she was not messing with what Danielle was putting down. At all.
No. She was like, I think you have a lot to answer to at the reunion, right. actually. I was like, and Danielle was like, wait, me? And she was like, yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah. And Andy like didn't know how to react. Because you know who's really bad at Watch What Happens Live is Amanda.
Oh my God. Yes. There's like, no difference than when she's in the audience.
Fucking
Kyle's
question. She's like, well, I don't want to like hurt anybody. I'm like, you are though. Like, so stop playing this like nice girl act. You're not nice.
No, Sam, let me tell you, with my personal experience, and I do like Amanda a lot. And I think she's very sweet. And like, even like meeting her at BravoCon, so nice. I think she's a good Bravo celebrity. People in my life, I'm just not someone who's quick to cry. And when people do it to me in conflict, I just don't. I mean, I cry, but like, it just feels with her, not convenient. I think it's a genuine reaction, but it is every single time. And then it's like the other person looks like they're bullying her or like they're the bad guy.
Then they have to go like console her. And it's like,
when she's the one who, she did say that about Lindsay at the reunion. It was messed up when she said it.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. Crazy.
So that is the thing where it's just like, she tries to have it both ways a little bit where like, she's the nice girl, but also like the gossipy one. Mm-hmm. And it just, you kind of can't have it that way. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like really like cunning and it's not that she's not smart, but it just doesn't work. It just, something is
it's not working. It. That show is not working. And it's very clear. Who the fuck is Chris?
Also, where are the boys? Where's Luke?
Where's Luke? Like, where are the men?
And I'm the type of like Bravo fan who like the male celebrities are at the bottom of me neither. And the fact that I want the guys that one weekend when Andrea was there, I was like, oh my God, thank God. Like we have something here.
He's a pure angel.
What is the working schedule at Summer House also? Like, can everyone just take any weekend off they want? Like they haven't had a full cast. I don't think yet. Like there's always someone gone.
I know. It's very weird. It's just not the premise of the show is not working with these people anymore with their lives and stuff. It's like, get out of here. Also, no one's buying Loverboy.
No.
No one. I'm sorry. No one is buying Loverboy. This is not, you're not going to hit the skinny girl jackpot.
There was a peak, like you said, when like we had peak Summer House and Loverboy was really taking off. This was like summer 2021, maybe. Like, and I had just moved back to New York.
Like after COVID.
And I live literally around the corner from Kyle and Amanda. I live in Paidai. But there would be in our delis, like Loverboy. And I was like, it was so exciting for me to try it and have fun. And then that was kind of it. And then I tried it.
Yeah, it was the summer of 2021. That season, that era was really, really fun for Summer House. Like it was COVID. You know, people watched during COVID and then, you know, they were really into the show and then it kind of peaked and now it's like, okay, I don't really
with
care.
With the Hannah of it all. I mean, that was like a season, love it or hate it, everyone was watching and had an opinion on it. I was team
Hannah.
So
I was too.
It was like,
and I was getting eaten the fuck up.
Sam,
we have been in the trenches together.
Between me and you, we're in the trenches. We are like deep between being Basset Hounds, jack-o'-lanterns, and defending Hannah Burner. You and I are always in the trenches.
Always.
It's crazy.
And I feel like we always come out on top. It just it might take a couple years. But so far, I mean, when people rave about Candace, do you just want to hit them in the face and be like, hello?
I literally, if you weren't there for season 5, because here's the thing about Candace, and in one of my interviews with her, she did say this, because I just asked her about like, how it feels with like, because the fan reception, it's sizably different. And she's like, I feel like I haven't changed. People have just like arrived to me. And it is true. This is
it's
the
true.
Same hilarious, like just so engaging Candace that we've had since her literal first season. That's the first scene.
Yeah. Hello. I mean.
Hello. Literally.
Yeah. She's been the
same
girl.
Since I See You Remix. Since I See You Remix. Or the original I See You at the Wedding. Like
at the wedding. Just... Her wedding is my favorite Bravo wedding that's ever happened.
It low-key deserved a special, but it also got like 3 episodes worth of content in the actual season anyway.
It was so good. But Jared, we could talk forever. Let's get into New Jersey. Okay. New Jersey. This is the famous episode where Louis tells everyone that he wears Nono's pajamas. And I've been sick over this since I saw the preview last week. I can't stop thinking about it. It makes no sense. He was like, he looked at Joey Gorga and goes,
"Yes,
I wear your father's pajamas to keep your nieces safe." Like, pardon? Get a Ring camera. Don't wear his pajamas.
It is rare, especially on Jersey. It's not the type of show where, like, your jaw is dropping at what people are saying. Like, because Jersey's usually the same thing. It's, like, fighting, good drama. This mm-hmm. was, like, a sentence I never thought I would ever hear in my life.
No.
With anyone. And I'm still trying to break it down. And the more they explain it, I think what's getting lost here, because even if they were brand new, he was using it to justify his closeness to his nieces.
Yeah.
So it's still weird?
It's weird no matter how you slice it. It's fucking weird.
And that after show clip that you shared, I literally can't stop laughing watching it because I am Jen and Jackie at the same time, just laughing.
And Danielle
so hard.
Going, and Danielle just being like, Jen, stop.
I'm just going to let you take this one because.
Yeah, because everyone was like, that is crazy. Like, it's so weird. And Melissa's like, I have no words. Like, this is crazy. But. So we kind of start the episode. Sorry, I'm like still thinking about it. It's really funny. So they start the episode and we find out what the real beef is between Joe and Louie. And it has to do with Nono's pizza oven.
I'm sorry.
This business venture that Joe Gorga thought, hey, I'm going to bring my sister in. We can have this family pizza oven business. Oh my God. What are we talking? Do you ever think about that? I these moments every week where I'm like, what am I? Nono's pizza oven. It's just like literally. Rolls off the tongue. Like, yeah.
It does. Just like Gorga's homemade Italian pizza or whatever. Their restaurant
Giuseppe's?
That they had.
Giuseppe's?
Yes.
There has been multiple pizza places.
There have been.
And the paper shredding company.
Yes, of course.
Of course. All seem viable. God. Anyway, so it turns out that Louis supposedly invested $250,000, wanted to cut Joga kind of out of the deal because he's like, you're not putting up any money. So like, why would you be 50-50 on this deal?
Right.
Joe then finds out that Teresa did a photo shoot for Nono's pizza oven, tried to call it skinny pizza, trying to rebrand her skinny Italian vibes. What are your fucking thoughts? Because I don't get it.
It's still very convoluted. I'm hoping this is something we can iron out at the reunion because I watched the episode twice because I just thought it was a good
episode. Yeah.
If you notice, this feels like something that was brought up. I don't know when they were doing the confessionals, but like they weren't talking about it in detail in the actual scenes they were in. So when they were mm-hmm. actually at breakfast, they were just talking vaguely about a business deal. But then in their confessionals, they were actually giving us the details. Mm-hmm. So I hope that we get more from that. I think it's all very convoluted. I can't really follow it, but this is going to be my summary for most of our Jersey talk. I just think for me, what I see is that there's a lot of finger pointing to the Gorga side. And it's not that the Gorgas are saying they haven't done anything or haven't, you know, gotten their hands dirty either. It's just more like, if you're pointing the finger at us, we can point the finger at you. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it does seem like there was a miscommunication there. And also, I don't know anything about business. How did he lose that money if they were never made?
That's what I don't get. I don't understand that. Like, Sonia didn't lose any money because the toaster oven never existed.
Right. Like, how much was this photo shoot?
Not $250,000. If you're spending $250,000 on a photo shoot, you better be on a fucking iceberg in Iceland with, you know, makeup by Mario doing your makeup. Like, you better be giving us a look.
Absolutely. Like, and that's the thing too.
And I feel like they were in her backyard.
Oh, 1,000%. And I just think we still don't really know what he does. He said lead generation. I watch What Happens Live famously.
And Andy Cohen's face was like, oh, no, no, no. He goes, you know that a housewife went to prison for that, right? Like,
right.
Yikes.
Right.
Yeah, it's bad. It's, you know, Louie, I really had high hopes because at the end of the day, I do want Teresa to be happy. I want everyone to be in love. I understand, like, you know, that. But Louie is shiesty. He's a scoundrel. He's just shady, kind of slithering around, like, and he does this weird thing. And I want you to talk about it because I believe it was your tweet that I saw where he does this weird thing where he like gets her riled up about stuff and then like talks to the other person is like, no, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah. No, how do we solve a problem like Louis Morales? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, how do we solve this? Because I think I want to also set the record straight as a Teresa.
How do we solve a problem like Louis?
Ow! Because I think what gets lost in the conversation, and this is why, like, Jersey Twitter in particular is so hard. Like,
oh my God.
Critiquing Louis or Teresa doesn't mean, like, Teresa made me fall. So, like, Atlanta was your entry point, Jersey was mine. Like, I fell in love with this woman in this story. I want nothing but for her to have a happily ever after. However, I can be a fan of hers and not agree with her. Like, I almost wish if, like, the tree hugger statement was a bit more forgiving and that, like, I just can't get enough of her. I know she can be wrong sometimes, but I love her. Because there's so many housewives that I feel that way. I still love Teresa. But instead, it's like everyone else is wrong.
You want her dead.
Literally. And I'm like.
Yeah.
And that is the thing to what you were saying. I tweeted that. Like, he will rile her up to then undermine her later to make himself look good. And it's really weird. Like, he will rile the girls up. Like, he'll be talking a lot of crap about Melissa and Joe.
Crazy
and Margaret,
crap.
But then, when, like, the actual confrontation is happening, he will flip a switch. And I don't like the way he talks to her. I'm sorry. And I know that the bar's low in Jersey in terms of the way husbands deal with their wives. But there is something that makes me really uncomfortable. When he was telling her to be quiet and that he was sitting there with Melissa when he was asking to hold Melissa's
hand.
When
he was holding her hand. Weird. It's really weird. The FaceTime, or not the FaceTime, the video of him talking about forgiveness, and then you see those Tweedledee and Tweedledum like pop up in the back, Bill and whatever the fuck.
Sam.
It's so cringe, and they're just like, "Yeah, man, apologies," and I'm just like, "You guys are so fucking disgusting." I love Jersey this season. I know people are getting sick of the Melissa and the Teresa stuff, but I also feel like there's so much other drama going on that, like, I'm kind of not really focused on that. But I did laugh really hard when Joe Gorga sat down with Louis and Teresa. And Louis, and I haven't seen people talk about this, and I really need to get it off my chest.
Please.
When Louis handed him the pillow and said that this is the talking pillow, and whoever has the pillow gets to talk. And Joe looked at him like, are you okay? Like, I'm a grown ass man. I'm not going to hold a fucking throw pillow and be like, so I'm feeling and I'm thinking.
Right.
That, do you know who you're dealing with?
You're with dealing my little sister.
It's crazy. He literally handed him a fucking pillow and said, this is the talking pillow. It's like a new girl when she was like, this is the feeling stick. It's very weird. I'm like, I don't get what's going on. And he is so, like, intense on therapy. And it's like, Teresa, I think, just learned what therapy means and the word, because I think it's like her word of the day because she won't stop fucking using it. I'm like, what? How you can look at 20 years later and not understand why they're kind of hurt that you won't invite her mom to the wedding. But guess
Donna
what?
Marco.
Donna. No. Jared. When they keep referring to Melissa's mom like that, I can't help but laugh. Donna Marco left. Have you talked to Donna Marco?
Donna Marco called me. I would have invited Donna Marco. Like, it's literally, it's the first and last name basis on Jersey that is just home to me. Like, it's always John Fuda,
Dolores Catania.
Dolores Catania, Joe Gorga. Like, it just is what it is. And you're right. It's like, Melissa said it in one of her confessionals when she was like, you don't get to come here and preach at me now. when like you also stirred this and you riled this up. So it's, and again, here's what I've been saying this whole time. Like, the conversation is lost to me when you have invited Marge Sr. and Jennifer Aiden's mom and Chanel Ayan. You're not going to
that part.
Donna Marco.
Thank you. It's that part for me. Like, you can't say, you know, I get not wanting to invite Teresa's sisters because I do feel like they maybe got into the drama of it a little too much. But
right.
Her mom was like hanging out with Nono, like, you know, really there for the family. And they've known each other they've been family for over 20 years. Like, it just makes sense that she would be invited. And like you said, when you're inviting people like Marge Sr. and Chanel Ayan to your fucking, and Ramona Singer, like, you can't invite Donna Marco?
Yes.
It's not
and
right.
That's the thing. And this therapy thing, I mean, listen, I'm happy for her. I'm always pro therapy.
Everyone should go to therapy. Absolutely. Amen.
I just laughed so hard, Sam, when like she literally bit Jackie's head off harder than ever before and then was like, see, this is therapy, and was holding her
glass. Yeah.
And I was like, is it? Because there really was no difference than how you react.
And
all
Jackie
the time.
Said nothing. Jackie was like, well, that's just not nice. Shut the fuck up. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah,
literally.
I was like, and Jackie's like standing there like, I literally said nothing to you. I just said,
I
well, that's not
Sam,
nice.
Because we've been in the trenches and I feel like as a jack-o'-lantern, I can humble myself and say,
okay,
her season was a little rough for Jackie. And she's been open about this. She was, you could tell the dynamic was different. Mm-hmm. I really feel like this episode, she leaned into her role perfectly. Mm-hmm. Every scene, she kind of was making stuff happen. She was bringing up Danielle stuff. She was getting the mix of the Melissa stuff, and it was kind of just enough.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the Danielle gossiping? Not that this is my podcast, I'm like asking you questions.
No, I love it.
Think about this, you know, this conversating coffee talk thing, because it just seems like a rookie mistake to me.
The thing with Danielle is I really do think that this is who she is. Like, I really think that she is like this crazy, this loud, bougie girl. But she has to stop leaving when there's fights. Because that is not how you like become a housewife, babe. That's just not it.
No.
You can't keep leaving. And it's so frustrating. I'm like, just talk it out and shut the fuck up. And I'm afraid that she's trying to go by the Teresa Giudice playbook a little too hard. Because you're not her. And you'll never be her. You might have the same storyline. And you might have the same, you know... bougie energy, but like, you'll never be Teresa,
right? And you have to earn a walk off, like,
yeah.
And it hasn't even gotten to that point. This is information that she's offered. She told Melissa this story, told all of this, and it made no sense. Like, it's not like there was
also, it's housewives, sweetie. People are going to ask you questions, they're going to be confrontational. These women, that's the name of the game. This isn't True Life, I'm a Staten Island Girl anymore. This is Real Housewives of New Jersey. If you tell the women, especially this group of women who are dealing with a very similar circumstance with a brother and a sister-in-law and not getting along, I mean, people are going to talk about it.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And then with the Arsenal thing, I mean, I think casting did an amazing job with Rachel and Danielle because they could not be more different. And they feel like
I agree.
Fits. But I do think that like, she kind of tried to throw Rachel under the bus, but Rachel seemed like someone who like remembers what she said on camera and was like, what did I say? I didn't say anything. You did, you know? And I think it is interesting. If I had one little complaint about this season, it's that from some housewives, there's a lot of bringing old stuff from last season.
Yeah.
And I'm not just a Marge apologist. I will call out when Marge is wrong. But I do feel like it's like, what are we really fighting about here outside of just... And I get it, Jen is hurt by what happened last year.
Yeah.
1,000%. It takes a long time to get over. But it's not our typical housewives like, okay, we're going to take baby steps and see. It's just like kind of rehashing old things. And that's the one thing. And I love... I can watch Marge and Jen fight for another 5 seasons. Don't get me wrong.
Forever. They are so nasty to each other.
Oh, They just
you
go lower.
You are a disheveled drug addict. I was like,
you oh. have no family.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. If anyone said any of these things to me, I would be on the floor.
Oh, and when Marge gets that like yell, you know, she has that like yell from like her gut.
Yeah.
And then Jen will just go at it. It literally gives me chills. And we've seen it for like 4 or 5 seasons now. But I just think in this season, it's getting to the point where like, I don't, maybe they just are never going to be friends and that's okay. But mm-hmm. like, there's no, it's tough with Jen and me. I love Jen. And I really think she's one of the best housewives, but I do feel like that we have on Jersey. Mm-hmm.
She's a great, great housewife.
Oh, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine the show without her. And I don't see her going anywhere anytime soon. But oh, I just do feel
like... We'll see
like...
her get divorced.
Hello. That is the one thing I will say. And someone was tweeting this. Yes, Marge is a gossip, but everything she's ever said
is true.
It's kind of true. It's the sleeping true. In the pool house, how she said happy, all these things.
Yeah. And that's... This was like 4 years ago. I say this on this podcast all the time. Is that I think if Jen came to Marge and was vulnerable,
yeah.
was softer, and owned her shit, Marge would 100% be there for her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if she was like, yeah, my marriage fucking sucks. I never know when he comes home. I have to check the security cameras. And he goes in the pool house and then comes back in when the kids are done eating dinner. I would yeah. set that pool house on fire.
No, I'd be, did you just come home and it's giving? Demolished. Just completely gone.
Just gone. Dave would be a bulldozer and a pile of dirt. And I'd be like, where are you going to go?
You're
the
one who tweeted how this is giving David and Shannon.
Yes. I and did. I got eaten the fuck up for you it, got... per usual. I mean, anything I
But we love it. Shannon is the thing. It's not that so we that's,
don't. No. And I literally tweeted underneath that. And I was like, here are the things that they have in common. One, both of the women want to make their marriage work. Two, both of the husbands are checked the fuck out. And three, there was long term affairs. Hello? Right. Right. Tell me how I'm wrong, please. People are such clowns.
And this Clownery. Is just how our brains work, though. This is all I think about all day. I just make these patterns, and I'm like,
this
is
really sick. I'm always like, wow, okay, this person's like this. This is the, you know, I always mm-hmm. do like a callback because, you know, history does repeat itself. And I hate Bill. I hate him. Yeah. I hate Bill Aiden. I think he's nasty.
They're... And here's the thing. Say what you want about Joe Gorga. You saw in this last episode.
Yeah.
And I think this is where there's something there with how Jen feels about it. Maybe even Teresa. He is always 10 toes down defending Melissa, no matter what. Strippergate. He showed up right there.
Oh, yeah.
He will, even if they disagree, he will always defend her
mm-hmm.
and ride for her and... he's got his own things too. I mean, they're not perfect,
yeah, no, but... he is has misogynistic tendencies.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, he loves her. He respects Melissa.
And I think he, out of all the husbands on that show, you know, and Joe Benigno loves Marge to death. So like mm-hmm. I think that there's a
he
lot of triggering.
Ass?
Hello. There's a lot of triggering things. I imagine if I was Jen, I would kind mm-hmm. of feel that way too, because I do feel like say what you want, he's defending her.
Yeah. Jealousy. Do you remember when Ramona said that? Jealousy.
Yes. At first I thought this was like an Olivia Rodrigo reference, and I was like, no, that's not it. Definitely Ramona.
No. I do love Olivia. Where is she?
I don't know. Joshua's like, everywhere.
Olivia is nowhere. And I don't get it.
I bet she's back soon.
I hope she comes back with fucking bangers. Like, I'm really ready for that. Like, summer hits. Before we stop talking about Jersey, I do want to ask you what you think of Pauly.
Okay. So.
Okay. We're ready. I'm seated.
Like, literally all these women, Dolores Catania is, like, one of my favorite people on the planet. I just think that she is, like, she's a warm hug.
Everything. She's a chocolate chip cookie of a person.
Oh, that is literally true. Mm-hmm. That is literally true.
Like, I would want to confide in her. Like, I would tell her my deepest, darkest secrets.
Oh, there's just something so comforting about her. And I think mm-hmm. that I could watch her and her dad talk all day. I could watch 45 minutes of that when
him
they were just walking around
in with
Pauly's
that 2 liter of pop soda, excuse me. And he was just like, I didn't want to drink any of yours. I was like, you're a sweet man. Or when her mom was like, I didn't eat cake this morning.
Yes.
I'm like, you're an angel.
And that, I think people underestimate. That is hard to find. People that her captivating. It really is.
Remember her old grandma?
Yes.
The old woman. I loved her. She rest. But so what do you think of Polly?
So yes. I really do see both sides because, and I think Dolores said this in her last confessional, she's like, what do these women want from her? All they had to do was complain about David, how David wasn't around. Now you have someone who was around and you're upset about Frank. I love Frank though. And I feel bad for him.
I know. Those baby blues.
Yes. I know. I love him so much and he loves her, but I don't think the jury's still out on Polly for me. Like I don't think we've gotten to know him that much, but I can tell he does love her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's not a rational request for Dolores to not be around her ex every day.
Well, I'm like, he's filming. He's a part of this show. Like, they're going to be around Polly. And like you said, I'm torn. I go back and forth because I'm like, they do have a strange dynamic.
Right.
He is a part of the cast. Like, he is a part of this show. Like, he will be around. I do think, you know, I get where Polly's coming from, where I'm like, maybe he doesn't need to like have a key to your house.
Right.
Maybe that's something that doesn't need to happen. And I kind of softened more towards Frank's side a little bit last week when even his girlfriend Brittany, who was like, yeah, we loved having Dolores over.
Yeah.
You know,
because like, they are family too.
This is the new normal.
Hard. It is.
I did and have I to laugh when somewhere... he said that he was the number one dad. I'm like, your kids hate you.
I know.
His daughter hates him.
Literally. I know. She's never seen
She's like, what's up, Frank? I'm like, oh God. I'm like, okay.
Right. And I think that there's probably like a really soft spot, sweet spot in the middle between David, who was almost too close. Like when they broke up and David and Frank were still living together, if I was Dolores, I'd be like, okay, it's a wrap. No way.
100%.
You know, and then I think there's somewhere in the middle because I do think that, listen, all these women do, but Dolores Catania deserves love. She deserves to be loved and treated like a princess, like a queen. So like, and I do get the sense that she's very happy and she's picking herself.
And that new confessional, the dark hair, she's like got her hair and it's cut and it's really dark. She looks so fucking stunning. Really?
Another one of the most gorgeous housewives.
No, ever.
Yeah, and it translates to person.
It really does. I'll never forget. I met her in my Sherbert sweater. And I was
at BravoCon, but Sam, I know the sweater well. I know it well.
And I was wearing like skinny jeans and like little booties. It was so fucking disgusting. I looked like the chookiest bitch on the planet. It was so upsetting. I like was meeting a goddess and I looked like I crawled out of a fucking hole.
Oh. It looks cute. I think it looks very cute.
Thank you. Let's talk Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
I have something to say, and it's going to be an unpopular opinion.
Say it.
So, today, photos surfaced of Raquel leaving Tom Sandoval's house. Yeah. Ariana Maddox is out of town. Everyone's up in arms about this. Everyone's flipping out. Everyone's, you know, freaking out. What did everyone fucking think was going to happen? They're together. They're in a relationship. Is it right? No.
No.
Is it cool that they can't just go to her shitty studio apartment that has fluorescent, you know, lights? Go there. Why do they have to go to Ariana's? I'm not sure, but like...
not the fluorescent lights. Sorry.
Everyone was like flipping out about these photos. And I'm like, this isn't shocking.
No, it's not.
People are being a little weird. Can you admit, like, with the whole... Scandoval, like people are like, every news isn't all the news coming at us like isn't breaking news.
I know.
It's like Ariana walking to her car. I'm right. Like, okay.
When it was like we hadn't seen her, like the first time you see her, okay.
That was exciting.
But it gets to the point where you're right. What else did you think was gonna happen? And also, yeah. I think we've seen this film before. Like literally, we know what happens. They're gonna have from how I see it, we still have to watch the reunion. Their only survival is to stay together. Really,
literally, Katie Maloney basically said that on Watch What Happens Live. She was like, "I hope they stay together."
Yeah.
Like, I hope that you did this for something.
Yes.
And, but, and they'll never be welcomed back, no matter if they're madly in love and they think that they're each other's soulmates.
No. And it's going to be a tricky position because on the one hand, this is like the biggest thing to happen for Bob Rules in so long. Like, they're not getting rid of them. How? No. This is literally...
Raquel revived this franchise.
And Sam, sorry. I have to complain. I literally have to complain because when we would do our State of the Unions during 2020. Times were dark, but we would have little, we would do little clubhouse moments. Yeah. It was like an hour of bright lights. Yeah. And there was so much like, it was that we were off the first. Oh my God, I'm like knocking.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm just so excited. We were off the first bad Pump Rules season going into the second.
Oh my God.
And I was someone who would say, and you would like defend it. And you still had hope. And I was like, guys, this just may be the end. Like, and Summer House was really popping. I was like, I like my Summer House kids. Like, I don't care about these kids anymore. I was really turned off by a lot of the stuff that went on with, like, it was just a lot. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
And I should have stuck it out, and I didn't. So but I've gone back and watched some of the stuff I missed. But, and of course, I'm watching this season. Right. And I'm, of course, watching this season. But I hate to say that I stand corrected, but I really do. There have been a few things. It's been, I was someone who called for Tamara to leave. I hate to say it, but I did.
You know what? This is what I love about you is you say that shit. Because I did
you
too.
You have to.
I was on the boards saying.
You have to.
Fight. I was fighting with Bravo. One-sided fight. One-sided feud. Bravo had no idea I was fighting with them. But I was like, fuck Tamara. Fuck Vicky Gumbelson. Get them out of here. I love Kelly Dodd.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Sam. Me too.
I cut like, to a year later. Feel like I referred to her as Kelly God at one point.
No.
Yeah. Like, I wrote hard for her. And I was like, get these fucking bitches off my screen. We don't need them anymore. They bring nothing. What a clown. Literally, right? What a clown. And that is why I will never, ever call for someone to be fired ever again. Because I'm, even with Rinna, I was like, I'm not saying a word. I'm staying out of this.
I think the only time I've ever felt like firing, and I learned from that lesson too, is that if someone I feel like is so, not to bring up Kelly again, but towards the end there, outside of the show, she just was spouting like a lot
nasty.
Of like hatred, where I was like, I just don't think I need to consume this. And people were like boycotting that season too. So like, I think that like, that is a point where it's like, maybe we take a step back. But for everything else, it's like, I think we've really learned, like none of us are casting. They do a really good job, even when they mess up, because we had a lot to say, I'm sure we're going to get to it, about Ultimate Girls Trip 3 and that cast when we first saw the cast. We were like, what is happening? And we don't know these women like they do, because they work with these women every day, and they know what's going to work, and it works. So that's where it's like, I was wrong about Pump Rules. Sometimes you have to wait it out a little bit. I feel bad that like it takes their lives all literally crumbling apart.
Everyone's life was in shambles. Literally all of them. When their lives started falling apart, I go, get the cameras up. The cameras rolling. I totally agree. Like, we are not casting. We are not in the business of hiring and firing. And that's what Leah said on this episode of Girls Trip. She was like, it's not my fucking place. Like, it is what it is. And like the thing with Kelly Dodd, and I hate to bring her up, but she likes to bring me up all the time. So buckle up, bitch, is, she was just really hateful online. Like it took a turn like where it wasn't the show. It was like just her personality and like her heart and her mind. I was like, I can't watch someone like that. Especially like who's unapologetically hateful.
Remember
hateful.
That like Bridesmaids All Wives Matter fucking shirt she fucking wore?
Of course.
Her hat. Can I
she came for her stepdaughter online. Like, it was nasty. These
when she screamed that she was black at the reunion, like, it just, like, got to the point where I think...
When she told Andy Cohen that he was a bad American, I was like, what's going on?
5 minutes later, we're still rattling off things.
Yeah, like, the list could... I really could go on and on. And then I famously, you know, I say on this podcast all the time, I've done a Real Housewives of Orange County rewatch, like, from the very beginning to the end to current. Tamara Judge is my number one housewife of all time. Go back and rewatch Orange County, and I fucking promise you, she's the mold. She is the housewife's mold. She is everything.
I'm like, I'm due for a rewatch. I did one.
It's so good.
I mean, it really is one of the best shows we have, and that's why I'm kind of excited for it to come back. But that makes me happy that you said that, because I love Tamra. Talk about a victory lap. Was her at BravoCon too? It just was like,
no, her at the panel, at my panel, she comes strolling in, stunning, gorgeous. Oh. She looks at me. She goes, "Jen Shaw came to my hotel last night," and I was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "Excuse me," I was like shitting my pants, because it was like a day prior, people online were saying that Teddy and I got into a physical altercation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was like a viral tweet. And it was like these two white girls fighting, fist fighting. And they said that it was me and Teddy. Mellencamp. And me and Teddy were like, yeah, that's not us. Even my boyfriend, he put into Twitter BravoCon, and that was the first tweet he saw. And he goes, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "That's not me. It's literally not me."
Could you imagine?
I would lose. She's strong. Right. I would just cry. But okay, I'm sorry. I could talk to you about anything for forever, but Vanderpump.
Yes.
Vanderpump.
Yes. Rules. We were talking, okay, so with the Raquel staying at Tom's house, that's where we were at, right? Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. They're together. I do feel like, like you said, something that we know is coming, like a season where we know something's coming down the line. Like, now we're just watching with a microscope. Like, it's just like so fascinating to see.
I know. I watch every interaction between her and Tom. Every single one. I'm like, oh, she's standing by Tom.
It gives me chills.
Standing by Tom. When Ariana, you know what really breaks my heart is when Ariana like defends her. Is like, because Lala was like, she looked like SpongeBob, whatever, you know, like made a joke about like what she looks. And she was like, no, she looks really good. She looked really pretty. She looked hot or whatever. And I'm like, this is the girl that you like, you fucking hurt her. This girl, the one fucking girl who had your back from day one. And you did this to her. It's so fucking sad. And I do think that Ariana, and from what I've seen on like podcasts with Lala and stuff, is that Lala or Ariana's in like a much better place. Like, she's kind of like a phoenix, like rising from the Tom Sandoval ashes, ashes. And it's flourishing. Like, she's got the world behind her. She's filming a movie in Canada with Megan Good. Like, she's on the rise. Tom, on the other hand, is like bunkered down in Valley Village.
Completely. And I think, I have to be honest too, like, had Scandoval not happened, and I've been honest about this watching, like, I think I low-key might have been on Raquel's
side. Raquel.
Like, there have been
some
episodes where I'm like, they're kind of bullying her. And that's where sometimes, we're going to see how it plays out. I live for Lala. Like, she's amazing and hilarious. But I wonder, there have been some interviews I'm sure you've seen where she's now saying that like she kind of knew, like she had an inkling.
Yeah, she's like, hindsight, I kind of knew. Did you?
It's just a little convenient, because I think two things can be true. Like, you had a bad vibe from this girl, so you were kind of mean to her. And it turned out to be true. Do you know what I mean? Because I do think there were some instances where like,
you were wrong.
On Katie's trip, it got to the point where I was like, okay, I mean, how many times are we going to, you know, do this?
Yeah.
So that's been kind of weird for me watching too.
When
is that
Katie Kelly walks
kind of
in
like,
and goes, she has her lights on. I was like, oh my God. Like, I totally agree. I would have been so Team Raquel.
Yeah.
In this season through certain points.
Yeah.
But I think Raquel is probably, she kind of reminds me of like a more evil version of Jules from Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Like, where she can't form a sentence. And you're just like, and Bethany would be like, use a verb.
Yeah.
Use a verb. And it's like it sounds really mean, and it is, but like it would be really annoying to be around a person like that who like is doing this shit, causing all of this chaos, and then like can't verbally like get fight back, you know?
Right. That's annoying. When, like, it's kind of your job to verbally fight, you know?
This is a verbal show, babe.
Right. Maybe it's the cameras, like.
But what I don't get, Jared, is the Tom Schwartz of it all. Are they using him as a decoy? Because what is with like the flirting and the going to the bathroom and the looking at the lights together? Like, I don't really get it.
I almost want to, from what I'm gathering, and again, I could be wrong, which we're going to find out more at the reunion. I don't get the feeling that if it had, with what we're watching now, if it's already started, I get the feeling that Schwartz did know, but not until he had to know. Mm-hmm. Until it got to the point where, you know what I mean? Like, it mm-hmm. was that far in. I almost feel like she is flirting with him and like he is flirting back, you know, in a playful mm-hmm. way. They're maybe not taking it that seriously, but.
But even in her confessional, she made a comment about Schwartz, and that was like a couple months ago.
Right.
When and she I think did the dab.
Maybe what I think happened is that they leaned into it like once they wrapped. And like they leaned into it around BravoCon, the whole Schwartz mm. and like Schwartz Raquel. I don't know. Like they leaned into it.
Yeah.
But I think as it, because of what they were actually hiding, but I think as it was happening, I don't think they're that clever to be like, okay, this is going to be the
I don't think Raquel is that clever. I don't think Raquel is that clever. I did tear up. Mm-hmm. I could tear up right now talking about it, and I don't know why I'm so emotional about it. This is the Brock. Brock and Lala and Sheena.
Oh my God.
And their little family.
I know, Full House.
No, I literally cry.
You are, literally.
I know. When he came to her and said, like, I had to hear those things. Like, as mean and horrible as you were to me, I really needed to hear those things. And now I'm moving forward in my relationship with my ex and my daughter, Winter. Yeah. And, you know, and when Lala was, I have chills all over. I could cry.
I know.
When Lala was just like, he's such a good dad and he's such a good husband to Sheena and he's so good to my daughter. And I, like, that is so special. And I feel so Very. Fucking bad that I ever made fun of this man and mocked right. him.
I know, because I was kind of thinking the same thing at first too, but I just think, I mean, even just the way he interacts, you can tell there's so much love there.
So much.
Even when he like, showed up to the surprise
her.
Party, I was
With
just
his
like,
little
oh
bun.
My God.
He looked like a it Disney was... prince.
I know. I think.
And their daughter. I think
beyond.
Is so cute.
She is really threatening.
No, this was like, I loved this for her. Like, Sheena's getting her happy ending. She's, you know, she has her daughter, her rainbow baby. She has mm-hmm. Brock. She has her, you know, her house in Palm Springs. And then she has her place in Marina Del Rey. And Lala just bought a place next to her in Palm Springs. And like, they have this little community of like moms. And I just think it's like so beautiful.
It is very cute. It is. It's okay? Like heartwarming. Especially because we've known these people for so long.
I know. And like, we saw the shit that Sheena went through with Shay and all of that and the hardship with Rob.
And in the friend group, frankly, I mean, it was nice to even just see them all rally around her. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been in this group for a while now, but I think it's been a lot of this, you know?
And it still is. It's still this, because this season, she's driving me nuts with the whole Katie and Schwartz thing. I'm like, why are you so invested in this divorce? Why do you hate Katie so much? And then when she said, oh yeah, no, I moved her room. She's in a different tower. And I downgraded her. I was like, Sheena, you're a reality star.
I will say, I kind of like the pettiness of it.
No, I love it.
But I think for the actual, like, it was just like, just sweet to hear her say it. But
yeah,
it is like, there's a like, And I don't think, I really don't think she's malicious. And I will say, I do feel like in a lot of instances, breakups are hard. And Schwartz has kind of been a better friend to Sheena than Katie has, if you're looking at their entire history of friendship. Mm-hmm. However, she definitely is like a little, like very interested in it. But I don't think she even knew, clearly, didn't know what actually was going on.
With Sheena, I feel like she kind of, she never thinks the next step ahead. Like, she always just does and says something like in the moment.
Yes.
And like, she never thinks of like the ripple effect that will have. Like, okay, so like you're going to have Schwartz on your podcast because like you want downloads. That's her first thought. Mm-hmm. Which is like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, but go off. And then like, but then she doesn't think about like, oh, then there's the next thing, which is like, that's going to hurt Katie. That's going to create this tension with you guys. Like, she doesn't think like that. And that's why
No.
I love her. You know, she's a simple girl.
Right. No, she
simple Tina.
She absolutely is. That is honestly such a brilliant assessment of it. I didn't even think of it. Thought of
I
it
really
like
need
that,
the reunion. Right. I need it.
I mean, like, that's the thing now. I'm like ready to fast track. I mean, we know that cameras did go up though, so I'm sure we're gonna get some. Maybe the last episode's gonna be them mm-hmm. filming. Mm-hmm. But this reunion is gonna be. I mean, I feel like we keep having these like landmark reunions, like the first Erica one.
Oh.
With that season, that was like a landmark one. Mm-hmm. I feel like this one's going to be a huge one. So I'm, listen, I'm ready. Let's do
it. I'm ready. What do you think of James and Allie before we get into Girls Trip?
Sam.
Yeah.
I yeah. also say this with all the kindness in my heart. How okay. old is she?
12.
She looks so young.
She's a baby. She's like, I think 23.
And honestly, I'm just seeing so many parallels. My roommate and I are also rewatching literally from the beginning. We just have it on in the background. It is literally Kristen and James. It is the exact same thing where Kristen kind of wanted Sandoval back. Like mm-hmm. James is just like short-circuiting around Raquel because he does still love her. I really think he does. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't like Allie, and Allie's just embarrassed by his behavior, just like James was embarrassed by Kristen's behavior. Like it's literally the exact same pattern. Mm-hmm. And I think she's nice. I think she's really nice. And like, I just feel bad for her.
I do too. She's mortified by him. Mortified
yes.
by him.
Yes.
She's like, I'm going to get up from the table. She, yes. I think she hates him personally. I don't, because like when she was like, yeah, we're twin flames, but you know, that doesn't always mean a happy ending. I was like, oh, that's weird. That's like a weird thing to say about the person you're in a relationship with. Like, okay.
I feel and like all the girls put up with more. Too.
Raquel put up with a lot. Right. Raquel put up with a lot. And yeah, I won't get into that on this podcast because I'm afraid of like being sued, but I think some things happened there. Darkness was there for sure. Yeah, like when you have an escape plan, something bad is happening.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
And
anyway,
listen,
not to bring it down, but
you're good. I was gonna say because I kind of feel for her because like I like love James as a reality star. Like I could
he's
just,
a reality
like, watch
star.
Him all day.
He's a
would
menace.
I want to date him? No. So like that's where it's like, you know.
Lala, when he was like, I'm gonna put some babies in her, she was like, ew, can you fucking not? She was
well, if Brooke
disgust.
Could do it. I'm like, yeah. Oh my god.
Like, can you say like we're gonna be making a family? He's like, no. Yeah.
And but you know what?
Also,
LVP
his dad
loves
looked
it.
Really
the
good.
Grin on her face. His dad looked great.
His dad looked healthy and good.
I was saying that just LVP just always does this thing with him, with all the boys on the show, frankly. But mm-hmm. with him, like, she's like, stop, but is like full cheesing. Like, as yeah. much as LVP could smile.
Yeah,
she's like, James,
savage.
Please.
It's like, James, what are you doing? I love it. Also, you know, I'm glad to see Ken.
I know. I'm like, oh, there's Ken. Ken yeah. is like, you know, we have these husbands like Ray. We have Ken, where it's just like, you're just
Greg Leakes.
Yes. You're happy to see him mm-hmm. hanging out, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. but we've also seen sides. I mean, goodbye, Kyle, obviously. We've definitely seen activated Ken.
We've seen him when he looks at James and go, I'm going to knock you Spock out. I was horny.
Screaming.
I was like, I love him.
Wait, Sam, we usually have the same exact types of Rob celebrity guys, but Ken is not on mine. Because I know you and I share.
It was just in that moment. Like, it was just when he showed, like, protectiveness over Lisa.
Okay.
I was like, wait.
I know you and I share Chris Larita. Like, that's our man. That is literally.
Oh, bring him up. Chris Larita.
Talk about 10 toes down for his woman.
Talk about 10 toes, 10 fingers, kneecaps, elbows, earlobes. He rides so hard for his wife.
Yes.
And I love him. Like when he talks, like you listen. Like he honestly commands a room. I get like flustered talking. Like look at us. We're just smiling. We're sweating.
I wish you could see. We're beaming. Literally, like.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah. I just love him. Also, before we get into Girls Trip, I do just have one question.
Ask away.
This is not Vanderpump Rules related, but it just popped into my mind. Mm-hmm. Luann and Jacques were at Bad Cinderella together. Do you think that Jacques and why can't I say his name? Jacques and Luann are endgame? I think it's weird that he's never gotten remarried. I think it's weird that he's never had kids. And I think it's weird that they still hang out.
I think it is weird. And maybe it is that thing where it's like they're each other's person. Maybe if they are necessarily endgame, twin flames, you know? And I think that some people have relationships like that. I don't know. I think Luann is, maybe they are. But I think, honestly, in a respective, and like, I respect it, honestly, as someone who's recently-ish single, like, Luann is all about her single era all the time. And she is all about flirting and having fun. And I really love that for her. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And even when she's avoiding Bethany at Bad Cinderella.
Well, one of the things that I love when people talk about Luann is they always say, like, Luann can get any man.
Yes.
Like, they're like, it's crazy. Like, you don't know how it happened. Oh, I do too.
Like, she's charming and she's stunning, first of all.
Her body.
And there's something about, wasn't it on Girls Trip 1? She was like really flirty. Oh, with what's his name? The guy who ran the... Yeah. And honestly, there was a lot of chemistry there.
She could have chemistry with anything.
Oh, yeah. 1000%.
Well, speaking of Girls Trip, let's get into Girls Trip.
Yay.
I'm so happy. Portia, motherfucking Williams.
Okay.
I'm obsessed. I've always loved Portia, but we've had such a time away from her. And I feel like I'm the only person on this planet who loved Portia Family Matters. I loved that show. I mean, was seated every single Sunday for Portia Family Matters.
I mean, Sam, it was good TV.
It was wonderful.
I think that maybe the timing of it, I think that there was a lot with the Simon of it all. Like, I almost feel like this break was such a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think if she had stayed on Housewives, we would have had a whole season about that. It would have been like, we're all grilling Portia, and that just never, that only can get you so far. And it's nice to miss these women. It really is. Mm-hmm. And she is just like, in my opinion, I think there's no way she doesn't come back for 16 of Atlanta.
I totally agree. I think she'll be back.
It's time.
She has to come back. I just think she's just so funny and so breezy. She can like breeze in and out of stuff like I've never seen. It's really amazing. And like her little one-liners that she doesn't even realize are like that funny are hilarious. Like I keep saying jalapeno Pepsi and then she's like, you're trying to get ate up. I'm like, I love this woman. Or like when she's like, it was a once in a Thailand. And you know her and Giselle on that couch together like laughing and talking about she need a man, she take a man, and Giselle was like, well, you kind of did take a man, and she's like she starts laughing. It's so good.
She is the mother I never had. I'm kidding. She is literally like so funny, even just with the Heather Graham and Whitney Houston. I literally am still laughing at that. Like she just is so good at this.
I know.
There's something to be said about these, like, she isn't an OG, but kind of feels like one. Like, someone from, like, the old guard, you know? Like,
it's like really... Shannon Bedore. Like, that's how I feel about her, too.
Yes, and I think that she is just so charismatic. I love watching her. And she brings out the best out of Giselle. As someone who really does love Giselle, but is, like, constantly frustrated with her, like, all of us. Or not, like, all of us. There's, like, a few of us who still like Giselle. But then I feel I'm just, like... Hating Giselle has got to be so exhausting because she's on Ultimate Girls Trip. I'm like, I'm having so much fun. She's hilarious. She is hilarious.
Yeah.
And sorry, you go.
No, go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, please.
I just think that she's hilarious. Like, and the way that, again, people get so frustrated, but like, no one asks her anything. I really don't think people ask her things. Like, could she show more? Yeah. But I also think that there's this weird misconception. And like, I don't think that the women sit down and they're like, okay, so I'm only doing this many home scenes this season. Mm-hmm. And everyone else can do some. I really don't think that they all film the same amount. But they don't show, like, they show Giselle at home when they want to. And they don't, like, it's not like some of them are filming at home every day. And Giselle's like, you're not getting none of me, you know?
Right. And to be fair, we don't see a lot of them at home.
I think the shows have changed. We don't see a lot of that anymore.
the Potomac girls are out and about. They're on trips together. We see like Candace in the kitchen with her sister, or we'll see Ashley and baby Dean. I love that the other baby just like doesn't exist. She only wears a necklace that says Dean. I need her to get the other one's name put on her. Yeah.
Dylan. Isn't it Dean and Dylan?
Dylan. Yeah. She never talks about baby Dylan. She's all about baby Dean. And you know, Robin, like I think we do get a little bit more Robin scenes at home because she's with Juan and like there's a lot of controversy with them, but that's it. Like, so I totally get what you're saying. And like when she said, she was like, yeah, people don't ask me questions. I was like, wait, they actually don't. Like, you're not wrong. They don't.
They'll come for her. Like, they'll talk about how she dresses and how she doesn't have a man and all these things, but they don't ask her things. And I don't know. I think Portia is bringing the whole trip is like Giselle is a pro. And I loved how
she is a
even in that
housewife.
First episode when Heather in her confessional was like, yeah, like I'm with the pros now. And I got like, this was a mess. And
she's out of her league.
Come. I mean, these Salt Lake girlies, and I love them. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Woo! This is like so
They're
intense.
Out of
this is
water.
Like a boot camp. Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah.
Even just the way that they. It's so interesting to see like how each city has a different signature way that they fight and talk about things, you know, and how they bring up conflict and whatever. But in this last episode, when all of them are just exasperated by the two of them, and they're just like, please. Can we stop talking about this? Yeah. When I've ever, like in Housewives, like all you want to do is talk about the drama, but it's convoluted. It's still confusing. They're fighting.
They're fighting about nothing. They're fighting about nothing, but they're fighting about everything is the problem. And like the thing with those women versus everybody else is they believe in resolution. And that's how their shows stay popular is because they're able to have conflict and then they make up. And then these women like haven't learned that yet. And Leah, poor Leah, she's fighting for her life on this island. She, oh my God, poor Leah. I feel terrible for her. Like she's literally by herself on this fucking island and has no one and is like, my show's not coming back. I'm never coming back. I don't know why I'm here. Like, she's so confused.
Tinsley and frankly, was supposed to be here.
Tinsley. Like,
which, honestly, thank God, though. I mean, it would have been.
Then we got Portia.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think, and I listened to your last episode, and the narrative of Leah ruined Roni, or Leah and Ebony somehow took down this longstanding franchise. They just came together and decided that it wasn't going to work anymore.
Yeah.
Just drives me nuts. We don't have to go into that. But I think that Leah is in a tough spot. And I can see how she is a polarizing person to film a show with. Like, she does say things that are kind of like, really? But, like, them... I don't think they're... They are ganging up on her a little bit. And it's a lot. But I do... I think maybe you tweeted this. There was something that shifted when she was blaming production about that last season in that conversation. I feel like after that, the girls were just like siding her really weird. And they were like, oh, you know what I mean? Because even Whitney was like, I work for the same production company. That doesn't, I feel like they just soured on her really quickly. And Candace is the only one who really is kind of writing for her.
I know. It's very sad. And like, I feel like it's easy to kind of gang up on her because she is so out of her element with these women. Right. She was only on for two seasons. Her show was no longer on the air. None of her castmates are coming back. Like, like she's out of her league. And
yes,
you know, and I did think it was so strange when Heather was like, oh yeah, God, are you going to drink? Wait, Sam. I read your book.
Sam,
I was like, why literally would you admit that?
And Giselle not waiting not a minute later to be like, hey, can you drink? Because Heather just said she wanted to get you drunk. Which
Giselle's
like, I'm sorry.
Story.
She's telling story and
storylines.
It may seem swift, but I do understand. She's like, okay, we have 7 days, 6 nights. Let's do this. Like, I'm not wasting time. Let's figure this out. And I think that, like, Heather, on the one hand, I a small part of myself can see myself identifying with Heather as a fan. Like, I think I would also be there stumbling over my words, being like, what the heck am I doing? Like, these are all stars. I'm just sitting here. But she just is like being so cringy. It's cringe.
And she's the most cringe person on the planet.
Yes.
At BravoCon, someone came up to the mic and like was praising her and was like, you are all of us. And she started crying. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this woman is a fame monger. And like, I get what Whitney is saying about the Mormon thing. She's like, you're writing a book
because
of the show called Bad Mormon. And you're like still in it. Like, well, it doesn't make sense. And even Portia was like, this isn't adding up.
Nothing's, it's not adding up. And I think that's what's interesting about this is that I do think that in their minds, and maybe just plainly, both of what they're saying about each other is kind of true. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that there is a side of Whitney that like wants to, in a perfect world, wants to operate like an Ashley Darby, like is filming a show, period. Mm-hmm. And it's going to move things along. And I do think that there was an opportunity for her to be a little closer to Lisa because of what was going on at home. I also think that Heather wants to look good all the time.
Mm-hmm. And wants to be the fan favorite.
Yes. Like, I do think that both of their perspectives are kind of true. But it's just hard to even care anymore because it's over something so dumb. Like, it'll be interesting to see how they end up, because I remember like that was the big thing at BravoCon, was that like Whitney was like, you and I
they
made
were
up
at fighting at BravoCon.
It was
nasty,
ruthless. And there is a side to Heather, which I've said this forever. There's like a reunion Heather that comes out where she's like kind of mean, like a Heather DeBro mean, like a, and honestly, I don't mind a mean housewife.
Oh,
I just would rather you like be the mean housewife.
She's a little pretentious sometimes, and it's shocking when it happens.
Like, what did she say about how, like, Lisa Barlow isn't a real person? She just, like, looked up a Cosmo. She did, like, a Cosmo. Do you remember that? Like, she did a personality test, and that's what she was. Like, it was, like, a ruthless thing that you absolutely had to have thought of before, and it, like, really cut deep. But, like, we have plenty of mean housewives. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think she tries to play... Here's what it is. I just figured it out. Heather tries to play nice and mean. And like nice and gossipy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do both. And Whitney tries to play like smart and stupid.
Yeah.
She tries to play like, no, I haven't figured it out, but also like, I had no idea, which like,
yeah.
Only a few housewives can pull that off. Mm-hmm. And most of them, I don't even realize, think that they're doing it. I think they just are like, can sometimes, like Teresa is an example of someone who I think has done things in the past that have been like little puppety things, but then also will play like, I had no idea. And you can kind of believe it though, just because of Teresa, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's really hard to pull off. So I think that that's their thing.
It's just frustrating to watch. And I kind of get, cause I remember when Salt Lake City was wrapping up, everybody's like, where is Girls Trip? And I kind of get why they waited such a long time for it to come out, because I think we were all exhausted by the end of that season.
I agree.
I was for sure. Like, I could barely recap it on this podcast because I was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know what's going on. I try to figure it out. It was unwatchable, and they fumbled the bag terribly. And what I have such a problem with Heather is like, she was called Shrek, an ogre, you know, all of these horrible things by Jen Shah, was lied to for years.
Right.
Was treated terribly. Jen Shah treats these women terribly. She's an abusive monster. Mm-hmm. And yet is riding hard for her, but doesn't understand why. Yeah, embarrassing. And it's like, what does Jen have on you, babe? It has to be something, because it doesn't make sense. Because the way that she's able to just dismiss Whitney, cut her out of her life for doing ? It's confusing.
Very.
I don't get it.
It's very confusing. I'm interested to see what's going to happen moving forward. Like, I think there's a potential for like a lot of growth with that show, but I'm glad that they waited. I'm glad that they waited for all the shows. I think it's good that Potomac was over, that Miami was over, just because like we're able to see exactly where these women were. I mean, yeah, we had the reunion, which is confusing, but we know how the season's wrapped. We know where their headspaces were. going into this. Even honestly, it kind of took me back a little bit to see like Giselle and Candace like FaceTiming before the trip and like
oh, me too. Together. I was like, hey.
I was like, oh, and can we? Okay. Because I remember this.
Oh, okay.
That Portia Candace conversation.
Oh, my God. Heated. I've been dying for that.
I've been dying for it too because we were tweeting. I remember, honestly, there was something about Chat Room that I think was like maybe like a glory days. There was something nice about watching Chat Room right after Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
But it was really frustrating.
As Basset Hounds, as Deep Space Cadets, we were literally in the fucking trenches during that season.
Yes.
And I remember when Miss Portia Williams went on Chat Room and was like, Team Monique, I was furious. I remember being so upset. So just like, wow, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe Monique got to her. Like, and so I was kind of waiting and waiting and waiting for like Candace to talk to Portia about this.
Yes.
And it made me really sad that Portia just like couldn't apologize and just be like, yeah, like what I said. Okay. Like, I understand it hurt you and I fucked up.
Especially, exactly, because,
you know,
the minutia of it kind of doesn't even matter. It's just mm-hmm. like you were using that platform to talk about it, even if you thought it was true, mm-hmm. it's still like added fuel to the fire to all those people. Listen, we were there. A lot of people were like, she deserved it. Like all these things. It was really
horrible.
It was a hurtful thing to live through. So
we're
it was
like, it was nice us. Like, we're like, yeah, that's how I feel.
Like, I was in pain.
You and I literally trauma bonded throughout that experience.
We did because it was again, we don't have to relitigate this, but like, there was a lot of, like Candace said, I remember getting reading the news thing as they were filming, and it was verbatim that Candace grabbed a wine glass and smashed mm-hmm. it up. Like, it was
horrible.
There was shady things going on.
Yeah.
In the relaying of the information. So she had every right to be upset by that. And I do think that Giselle does have a point too. She did have her, she did defend her.
Yeah, no, I agree. Candace was a little exhausting with that point.
Because
in my mind.
Giselle did have her back. Really
sure did.
Have her back
in that. And she didn't have to. And she had her back like throughout the whole thing, like from start to finish. Yeah. I know that this is an unpopular opinion and it's one of my blind spots. It's one of my faults, you know?
No, you're good.
I love Alexia.
Oh, Sam.
I love her so much.
Okay.
No, no, no. I know. I can't explain it. Like, I know. Here's the thing. When I say that I love certain housewives, I normally get why people dislike the person that
Thank
I like.
You. Right.
Okay. But with Alexia, like, I don't get it.
Why people dislike her?
Yeah. Like, I genuinely, like, Sam. I don't know. Like, can you explain it to me?
Okay.
Because I don't understand it. I'm being fucking serious. I'm mad at myself because I pride myself on, like, okay, like, I can see both sides. And, like,
right.
you know, like, I rode for Bethany for a long time and I saw that she was problematic. I rode for Dorinda, Candy. Like, I understand that they have these flaws. But with Alexia, I'm like, what are they?
I think Alexia is fascinating TV. I never want her off my screen.
Ever.
However,
okay.
she's like Teresa, but there's something missing, at least for me. Like, in the ways I can forgive Teresa, I think Alexia kind of does bulldoze
is
over
worse.
People. In some instances, I think she doesn't ever... In a way, I think Alexia's almost always wrong, Sam. And I love housewives who are almost always wrong. Like, and I think in a lot of fights, like, she couldn't just apologize for not scrolling down to the bottom. She couldn't just apologize for the Julia comment. She couldn't just, like, and she won't do it. And that's okay. I live for the delusion, but I think that there's, like, you know, I'm a star.
A line.
I'm a this. I'm a,
okay,
yeah.
Her saying that she's a star, she's not wrong.
No.
Where are the lies?
Listen, I feel the same. I feel the same about a lot of the women on, honestly, Miami.
Larsa,
most of them,
my delusional queen.
Larsa, exactly. Larsa's the same thing. Like, I think she absolutely, I thought she was kind of dead wrong on a lot of things, but I didn't ever want her to stop talking. When she was like, everything is about me. I was like, I'm obsessed with you. But like, did I think she was wrong about the anesthesiologist comment? Of course.
When she said that the job was a real job. Yeah, no. So like with Larsa, she's like a villain that I get why people don't like her, but I love. Okay. Yeah. But like I said, like with Alexia, like I genuinely
you can't
like,
see why.
I can't see it. I really, I mean, you don't I think... know.
Okay, but how do you
it's
feel about Adriana?
It's a flaw of mine.
Because that's kind of my, I see why Adriana rubs you the wrong way, but I kind of can't get enough of her. Like, I think that she.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just something about, like, it was a messed up comment, but like, they really, she is like, I've never seen a better Housewives apology than like the three times she did it before the reunion. Like, and that finale when she was like crying and she was like, I think you're an amazing mother. She was like, Maricel, I miss your friendship. You were in my wedding. Please, I just want us to maybe be friends. And they're just like, no.
Yeah.
But she also, this whole season, honestly, I was like, oh, this is like a different Adriana. Like, she's really not like going off. I think she's kind of right about this thing with her boyfriend because they're all being mean about it. And it seems like he's divorced. But then we had the trip and I was like, there it is. Like, she just always
there
has
it is.
Something that, like, she always takes it five steps too far.
I don't know what it is about Alexia. Like, I just love to look at her and, like, I love to listen to her talk. And, like, I just can't get enough.
There's a cadence in her voice that is hypnotizing. I was out
when she said that she was going to do, she was like, she always has to throw in that she was going to go to law school. She's always I was going to go to law school. I was going to be a lawyer. I'm like.
Oh, and Leah wasn't wrong when she's like, Alexia has verbatim things, like stories she says in the exact same cadence, the exact same way. She does. She absolutely does.
I can't get enough of it.
Did I tell you was out a month and a half ago at LeBain and they have like these like gay parties on Sundays and I'm literally standing there with my friend Matthew, who I think you maybe met at BravoCon, my friend Kendrick, and we're all just dancing.
I remember Matthew.
I literally see this blonde woman walking in. I'm like, oh my God, she looks just like Alexia. That's so weird. Then she gets closer and closer and it's, I can't forget his name, but her like gay best friend who's on the show all the time.
Oh yeah.
And her, they're like walking towards us. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a random Sunday. Here's just Alexia randomly here in New York. And she was there to do like promotions for Girls Trip. And like, it was the same thing in person. I was like, you are literally so gorgeous and hypnotizing. I was like, you were just like,
that's
she is a star.
Word to describe
she
her.
Isn't a star.
She's a star. And
it's a cast full of stars, though. Can we be honest?
Cast full of stars.
After this reunion, even like, even sometimes at the beginning of the season, I'm like, okay, I like Julia, but like, is she a fit? I don't know. By the second half to the end in this reunion, I'm like, I just can't get enough of Julia either. Like, I just kind of can't get enough of these women. I'm excited to see. I don't want anyone to leave. I do think Dr. Nicole really had an amazing sophomore season, though. This was like...
Yeah. Don't know about Dr.
You don't like
Nicole.
Her.
I don't know about her.
What happened?
I don't know about her.
Is it the Alexia thing?
No.
There's a lot of Hoover posts on their stories.
There's my thing with Dr. Nicole is like the money doesn't add up.
Oh, I can see that.
And it concerns me.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with her.
A big firm. Is she like head of anesthesia?
No, I like, okay. I think I just don't like Anthony. To quote Larsa, Anthony is
that.
A bitch.
I totally got that. He was like really enjoying being
a girly.
Yes. And a lot, I'm trying to think of like other house. He was like that house husband.
He was kind of like Mario Singer.
But Larsa, I think the comment was really rude about Grayson.
Oh, about
whether
the
she meant it or not. Yeah, I do think. But to be fair, I think that like the comments about her appearance and her body are gross. He should not be doing that.
Yeah,
like, that
they're
is
all
just
wrong.
Like,
except Alexia.
It's
on that note. That's the end of the episode.
I am cackling. I just adore you. This is so much fun.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming out. Tell everybody where they can listen to you, follow you.
Yes, absolutely. So like you said earlier, I'm an entertainment writer at The Griot. So you can see all my Housewives interviews and everything there and on my social media at The Jared Alex. That's my Instagram. And then on Twitter, I'm Hey, It's Jared. Hey with two Y's. It's Jared.
Hey with two Y's. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us ramble, laugh, giggle. We almost started crying together. It means the world. So please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Media production.